Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter number 2. Oh, holy night, thank the Lord for it. Thank the Lord that we had a God that saw our need and chose to love us even though we are unlovable, and chose to send His Son down to this wicked world in which we live, to live a sinless life and to die a sinner's death upon the cross of Calvary. And I'm so thankful that He chose to love us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. And thank the Lord for that. Look at Matthew chapter number 2 this morning. And let's begin reading in verse number 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem, Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art thou not least among the princes of Judah? For out of thee shall come a governor that is to rule my people. This going back to Micah chapter 5 and verse number 2 in the Old Testament. And then verse 7 says, Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them. Apparently, it must have been a different type of star. Not a normal star, but it was a star that guided them on their journey. And it says, And they saw the star in the east which went before them till it came and stood over the young child, where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, notice they didn't come to the manger. Almost 2 years had passed chronologically. And now we find the wise men, the magi from the east, have come to the place where the young child was in verse number 11. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. These wise men did not worship Mary, they worshipped Christ. And the Bible says in verse number 11 that they fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, as we look at this passage today, I pray, Lord, you stir our hearts, not only with the birth of Christ, but, Lord, a great message that is revealed here. And how that these wise men found real purpose in their life that on their journey. I pray, Lord, that you would help us in our journey of life to find real purpose as they did. We ask and pray, Lord, that you would just work in our lives. Lord, draw us close to the Savior's side. And Lord, I ask and pray if there's anyone here today that's lost, I pray, Lord, that they would get saved before it's eternally too late. Lord, we realize that your word proclaims the fact that the Savior was born. But Lord, we also realize it's not going to be long where the trumpet sounds and that Savior is going to return as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Help us, Lord, to be found faithful when you come again. I pray, Lord, now your blessing upon this time. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. In the last few months, I've been making a lot of hospital calls and other types of visitation calls. You know, and as I make those calls, some are in the midst of crisis. Some are going through some health crises, and some are going through marital problems. Some are going through financial troubles. Others have little children that just have been brought into this world and a new journey has started for them. Others that I've visited are at the very end of their journey. And some we have seen take their final step out of this world and into the next. As life journey unfolds for all of us, and as it continues for us each day, we're going to experience joy, and we're going to experience heartache. We're going to experience trials, and we're going to experience sufferings, and we're going to experience tribulations. But you know, I'm glad that Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Amen. The wise men, as they journeyed, and as the Magi took their long journey, and as they followed the star, they found the Christ child. They realized that after they had passed almost 600 miles, probably come from the old land of Babylon, and as they journeyed and they found the Christ child, I believe they found what the purpose of their life was all about. We stop and think about Christmas. Really, isn't Christmas all about the purpose of our whole life? That's what Christmas is really all about. It's about finding the purpose why God has us here. I believe as we look at this passage of Scripture, the wise men, all of a sudden in their life, life's purpose was revealed. And as we take a good look at Christmas and what Christmas is all about, and we look at this passage of Scripture, I think that we can see here that life's purpose is revealed for each and every one of us. People come to church for a lot of different reasons. Sometimes they come because they know right afterwards they're going to go over to somebody's house for dinner. Well, I got to show up for church because after all, I'm going over and there's going to be pot roast and mashed potatoes and gravy and all of those things. Some people go because they've got to shine on somebody and they want to see that favorite someone. Some people go because they know if they don't, the preacher will come knocking on their door and say, boy, we sure have missed you, you know. There's a lot of reasons why people come to church, but you know, the bottom line is we ought to come to the house of God to worship God. Amen? And I believe that as we will see life's purpose revealed, as we look at this passage of Scripture, we'll look at the wise men. And as God revealed it to them, I believe that God will reveal life's purpose for you and I. I want you to notice seven things this morning, and then you can go home and eat your pot roast, all right? And I want you to notice what it says in verse number 2. What was the purpose of their life? What was the purpose of the journey of the wise men? It's the same purpose for you, and it's the same purpose for me. In verse number 2 of Matthew chapter number 2, Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, and there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." The wise men were on a journey, but they were not on a vacation. They were on a journey that had purpose. They were on a journey to seek the one that the star was revealing. Life's purpose is all about this. Life's purpose is to bring about a time in our life when we seek Him. You hear me today? I don't know where you're at in life's journey, but life's journey here for you today is to make sure that you seek Him with all of your heart and with all of your mind and with all of your soul, because all of life is pointless and all of life is vain unless we find Him. Amen? In Isaiah chapter number 55 and verse number 6, it says, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts." Listen, we need to go ahead and turn to God while there's opportunity. They were in a journey of opposition. These wise men came, and it says they came from the east. Probably these wise men, and some people try to say that they were astrologers. I don't believe so. I believe there were men of science. I believe that there were men that studied the scriptures. I believe that they were probably the remnants of the Jews, or possibly some of the converts of the Jews that was left over from when the children of Israel were in the Babylonian captivity, and there about 450 years later, these wise men come. How did they know that that star represented the king was going to be born? Probably because they had searched out Numbers chapter 24 and verse number 17, which talks about his star is going to arise, announcing the Savior's birth. Probably because of Isaiah chapter number 60 and verse number 3, which declared the fact that there was going to be a star that was going to arise, that was going to mark the Savior's birth. You see, I believe that these individuals, these wise men from the East, they were not just on a vacation. They were seeking Him. And I believe that all of life's, the purpose for all of life, listen, it's to seek the Lord. Amen? But they're on a journey of opposition. Babylon primarily was a pagan area. They worshiped their ancestors. They were in ancestral worship. They worshiped their kings. They worshiped foreign gods, pagan gods. But there were a few that came to know the God of Israel. And so as these men left, they left, and it was a journey of opposition. It was a journey of hardship. You realize as you seek after God, you may encounter some hardships. Your family might not understand. Your friends might forsake you. I know that when I got saved, I found out who my real friends were. Amen? I had friends as long as I'd pay the bar tab and would go drinking with them at the bar. But when I got saved and put away all that foolishness, I found out who my real friends were. Amen? We understand that the wise men had a journey of hardship over 600 miles by camel. How many of you have actually rode a camel before? Anybody? A few of you? Lord bless you. You can have it, all right? I'll take my Chrysler any day over a camel. But listen, we need to realize that it was a very hard journey. It was a very long journey. It was a journey that was filled with a lot of hardships. Leaving their family, leaving their friends. Approximately 2 years to get there, according to Matthew chapter number 2 and verse number 16, we find that they traveled there, and later we find that in chapter 2 and verse number 16, when Herod found out that he was mocked, he went through the whole land and killed every man child that was 2 years old and younger. Why? Because of the simple fact, he wanted to make sure that he destroyed the Lord Jesus Christ. A journey of hardships. But it was a journey that was fulfilled. And in verse number 11, it says, "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him." It was a journey fulfilled. I'm here to tell you today, your journey is going to be unfulfilled in life unless you meet the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 11. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse number 13, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord." Verse 14. Can I ask you a question this morning? Are you truly seeking after God with all your heart? If you truly seek after God with all your heart, according to Jeremiah 29, 13 and 14, the Bible says that He will be revealed to you. In Acts 17, verse 27, it says that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not very far from us. You know, God's not very far from us. Matter of fact, the Bible says, "Where two or more are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." You know who is here today? Jesus Christ is here in our midst. He has promised to be. And so I want you to notice the purpose of life. It's to seek Him. Number two, look at verse 11. "And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him." The purpose of life is not only to seek him, but the purpose of life is to meet him personally. You know, it's amazing the extents that people will go in order to meet somebody famous. Here, a year or so ago, we find that President Obama came through Oak Harbor. He stopped at our local restaurant, the Cozy Corners over here. And boy, I tell you what, it hit the front page of the newspaper and it showed him there meeting the owner and all the different staff. And they knew ahead of time that he was coming, but they couldn't let the word out. And the people that were there, I almost said residents. Well, some of them, they go so often, they're almost like residents. But the people that were there, they were just absolutely thrilled that they got a chance to meet the President of the United States. And I don't care if you like him or you don't like him. He is a governmental official. Amen? And you know what? I personally would be, I'd be happy to meet him. I'd like to sit down and talk to him a little bit. Amen? And maybe to be a help to him. Maybe to be a help to me. I don't know. But you know, here's the thing. I think it's an honor to be able to meet a president, past or present. Amen? Some people will go out of their way to meet a special singer that they like, or maybe a movie star. Every year, hundreds of thousands of people flock to Graceland just to go ahead and be at the place where Elvis Presley was laid to rest. You know, and I think to myself, wow, you know, they put so much emphasis on that. But I wonder what type of an extent that we would go to personally meet him. The Bible says in Mark chapter number 8, verse number 36 and 37, "For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" We need to realize that there is no greater responsibility laid upon mankind than to make sure that we meet him. Amen? That's the most important thing that we could ever do, is to meet the Lord and meet him personally. There's no greater blessing. The richest and the most content of mankind are there because they've met him. When all of life is done, it's not going to make any difference what type of car you drive or the house that you live in or how much money you have in your bank account or what type of friends that you have. The most important thing is that you've actually met him. You can talk about meeting him all day, but I'm here to tell you, listen, when you actually meet him, it's going to make a difference in your life. It's going to make a change in your life. Amen. I want you to notice the third thing. Not only they sought him and they personally met him, but they humbled themselves before him. Look at what it says in verse number 11. "When they were coming into the house, they saw the young child, Mary, with his mother, and fell down and worshipped him." The wisdom of this world bowed before the omniscience of God. In James chapter 4 and verse number 10, it says, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." Why should we humble ourselves before God? I'll tell you why. Because he is the creator of all. That's why we ought to go ahead and humble ourselves. He spoke the worlds into existence, according to Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1 through 3. He's our creator. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the light was the light of men. And the light shineth into darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. In Colossians 1 and verse number 16, it tells us that He is the Creator of all. And not only is He the Creator of all, but we need to realize that He is the Sustainer of all life. You know why you're here today? Because God has been gracious to you. Amen? God has allowed you to live another day. Do you realize what would happen if God would take His hand off of this world? Hold your place here. Look at Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1. And I want you to see what the Word of God has to say. In the book of Colossians chapter number 1. Say, where can you find Colossians? Just remember this. General Electric Power Company, and you'll find it, all right? Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. There you go. Colossians chapter number 1. It says in verse 16, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things are created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, verse 17, and by Him all things consist. That word consist means to be held together. You know why you're here today? Because God has got His hand upon this universe. And God has got His hand upon this planet. And God has got His hand upon me and upon you. You know, the greatest thing that we could do is submit to the hand of Almighty God. Because if He took His hand off of us, and if He holds all things together by the word of His power, and He took His hand off, we would all go into nothingness. I think that's a word. If not, maybe they'll add it to the dictionary. We would cease to exist. Now, I'm not a scientist, but I've done a little bit of study. And you know, scientists today really cannot figure out how everything stays in existence. As they study out the atomic structure of atoms, and you've got negative forces and positive forces, they still really can't figure out how. They understand a little bit, but every year they're learning a little bit more and a little bit more. They still don't understand all of the attractive forces and why the whole world doesn't just implode upon itself, or the whole world doesn't fly apart. I'll tell you why. Because by Him all things consist. He holds all things together by the word of His power. That ought to humble us. He is the sustainer of life. And I'll tell you why we ought to go ahead and be humbled. Because one day, according to Philippians chapter number 2, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I remember years ago watching an old commercial on TV about Fram oil filters. And the phrase was this: you can either pay me now or you can pay me later. That's a pretty good truth, amen? Change your oil and your car will probably last you a little bit longer. I was talking to a sister-in-law a number of years ago, and she was having trouble with her car. I said, when was the last time you changed your oil? And she looked at me, she says, change oil? She says, I don't change it, I just add to it. Needless to say, that car didn't last her very long. Amen? You can either pay me now or pay me later. And as far as Jesus Christ goes, we can either bow the knee now or we're going to one day are going to be thrown before His feet and you will bow later. The Bible says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. The wise men, the magi, they humbled themselves. They fell down and they worshiped Him. You realize that humility is a must for salvation? The proud and the boastful, the arrogant, the self-satisfied will never come to Christ. It is only those who will see their need, their eternal need, will fall before Him. A number of years ago, there was a group, a contemporary Christian group that actually formulated over in Rossford, Ohio. One of the singers said this, "We are more popular and more well known than God." And today, if you would go to Kentucky or Colorado or Tennessee or Florida, and you'd say, "Have you ever heard of the contemporary Christian group by the name of Pawn?" Matter of fact, most of you are looking at me like, "What?" Yeah. Well, that was their group's name. And some of you might remember that group. They were in the newspaper in that a number of years ago. But what a statement. We are more well known than God. May I suggest to you today, if you go to Kentucky or Colorado or Tennessee or Florida and you talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, most people will know who that is. If you go to Kentucky or Tennessee or Colorado or Florida or Ohio and you say, "Hey, do you know who Pawn is?" You know, they'd say, "What? Is that a chess piece?" Actually, it is a chess piece. But we need to understand this. It takes arrogancy to say something like that. You see, humility is a must for salvation. So they humble themselves. That's the purpose of life, humbling ourselves before God. In verse number 11, not only did they humble themselves, it says that they fell down and worshiped Him. That was the purpose of their life's journey. And I don't know where you're at in life today, but I'm here to tell you this. The purpose of your life's journey is to worship Him. That's the purpose. According to Exodus chapter 20, take your Bible and turn there. This is a Bible-believing church, amen? You ought to have your Bible with you. And I want you to notice what the Lord told Moses on Mount Sinai. This is a part of the Ten Commandments. And God spake all these words, saying, "I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in earth beneath or that is under the that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow thyself down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children of the third and the fourth generation unto them that hate me." Listen, the Bible says in verse number 1 through verse number 5, basically, we are to worship God. And Him only shalt thou worship, as it says in the New Testament. We find the Magi, the wise men, they came to worship God alone. They didn't worship anybody else. They didn't worship Mary. They didn't worship the emperor. They worshiped Christ. We need to understand today that life's journey was about worshiping Him. And our journey is about to worship Him. We find in Matthew chapter number 4, as Jesus was led of the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil came to Him and He said, "If you'll just fall down and worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world." What a foolish statement Satan made. All the kingdoms of the world already belong to Him. Amen. Amen. Jesus replied with Scripture for the third time. "As it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve." Our journey is to bring us to a place of worship. In Revelation chapter number 22 and verse number 9, we find that the whole purpose is revealed there. And as the angel came and presented to John all of these visions, he fell down and began to worship the angel. And he says, "See thou do it not." He says, "Worship God." That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to worship God. What does it mean to worship? What does it mean to worship? If you would look up the word worship, it means this. It means to fall down prostrate on the ground. It means, this is what my dictionary said, it means to kiss like a dog licking his master's hand. It means to fawn or to crouch down. Literally to fall down and lay yourself down before someone. To do reverence, to adore. My dictionary says to adore, to reverence, to pay divine honors to. Worship. Now today, in today's society, worship is more about you than what it is God. And we try to, churches across our lands are talking about praise and worship, and let's go ahead and give you an emotional fix for a week to make you feel good so that you can go ahead and face the world. Listen, worship is all about God. It's not about making you feel good. Amen? To reverence, to adore, to pay divine honors to. I wrote in my notes, you will probably worship, and you probably do worship, that which you spend the most time with. You will probably worship that which you spend the most money on. You want to do a real quick check on who you worship? Look in your checkbook. Amen? They worshiped him. I believe because of who he is, because of what he has done, don't you think that all of our worship belongs to him? The purpose of our life, the journey of our life, is to worship him. That's what the Magi found out. Look at verse number 11. I want you to notice this. In verse 11 it says, when they were coming into the house, when they saw the young child with Mary his mother, they fell down and worshiped him, and they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They gave sacrificially to him. Gold, a treasure for a king. Frankincense and myrrh, very, very costly ointments, very rare. Today we're finding out, and I appreciate that article, Cammie, that you sent me about frankincense and myrrh, and has great medicinal properties to it, treating cancer with it. I'm going to do a little bit more checking about that. But you know, where they get frankincense and myrrh from is actually from the bark and a sap from trees that grow in Saudi Arabia and the western part of India, all through that area. In order to get that sap, the people that harvest that, they take a sharp object and they slice and cut the bark, kind of like what sugar maple trees do out east, where they actually pierce it and then drain the sap off in the spring and they boil it down and make maple syrup. Kind of the same way with frankincense and myrrh. They have to go ahead and score these certain types of trees. And in order to get that out, they have to actually hurt that tree. That tree has to suffer in order for that fragrance to come out. I believe it points to the fact that we had a suffering Savior. That Savior had to suffer for you and I. And the end result was, when that is crushed and it is used, it gives off a very aromatic fragrance. The Bible describes it as a sweet-smelling savor unto the Lord. They gave to him sacrificially. They brought to him their treasures, verse number 11. What treasures do you present to him? David said in the Psalms, Psalm 116, verse number 12, what shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits towards me? He says, I will take the cup of salvation, verse number 13, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay unto him my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Talks about a good testimony. O Lord, I am thy servant and I the servant of thy servants. Verse number 16 talks about servitude, serving God. In verse number 17 and verse number 19, the psalmist said in Psalm 116, talks about offering thanksgiving and talks about praise. I want you to notice one other thing, and I skipped one. Look what it says in verse number 10. What's the purpose of my life? In verse number 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding, what's the next two words, everybody? Great joy. You know, I really believe that one of the things that God wants to give us in this life is great joy. It's sad. It's a sad fact that Christmas time is the highest rate of suicide of the whole year. Why? Because they've never found the Prince of Peace and they don't have any joy in their life. Right. Amen? Right. God wants you to have, according to John chapter number 10, verse number 10, He wants you to have life and life more abundantly. First John says, these things I've written unto you that your joy might be full. God wants us to have joy in our life. And the only way we're going to have joy is if we come and meet Him and worship Him. Amen? Let me show you the last thing. Look at verse 12. In verse number 12, this is the purpose of your life. This is the purpose of my life. This is the purpose of the wise man. And being warned of God. Let me pause right there. You see this book right here? God has given us warning. It's right here in this book. In both Old Testament and New Testament, He has given us a warning. He's given us promises. The Savior's come. He has given us the promise of forgiveness of sin. He has given us the promise of eternal life. He has given us the promise that one day we're all going to stand before Him. And He's given us a warning. He said, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. He gives us a warning that one day time is going to be no more. And those that have not sought after the Lord, the Bible says in Psalm 9 and verse number 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that shall forget God, that forget God. Now look at verse number 12. It says in verse 12, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country. Notice that next word, another way. I don't know about you, but when I met the Lord, that day that I met Him back on October 30th of 1978, God did a work in my life. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And when I left that day, I left different than the way I came. Amen? And if you have met Jesus Christ on the journey of your life, you can know, and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt exactly what I'm talking about. When you came and you met Him, and that day you left from that point in time, there was a change that took place. This is what happened to me. He changed my direction. And I hope that He has changed your direction. Because if He does not change our direction, in John 3:18 it says that we are condemned already. And unless God changes your direction, you're condemned already. Amen? Like the Magi, like the wise men from the East, Christ had a purpose for His journey. The purpose of His journey was not just to give you another paid holiday. It was not just to go to grandmother's house for cookies and Christmas presents and a nice dinner. It was not about trees and bright decorations and even all of those things that we enjoy. It was really not about a manger. It was not about the star that shone so brightly and guided those wise men. It was not about the star. But what was going to happen about 33 years later? It was about the cross. His purpose was our reconciliation. His purpose was our forgiveness. His purpose was our eternal fellowship with Him that is only available through salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. As we look at Matthew chapter number 2, it reveals the purpose of life. What is the purpose of your life? The purpose of your life is to get saved. That's the purpose of your life. And as a saved person, the purpose of your life is to live for Him. If you've never met Him, be like the wise men. And seek Him diligently. Find Him. Worship Him. Serve Him. Give to Him. And after you meet Him, leave a different way than you came. Amen? Let's bow our heads, please. Every head bowed and every eye closed. The purpose of Christmas. Father in heaven, Lord, I come before you. I am thankful today, Lord, for your goodness. Thankful, Lord, for the opportunity to share your word this morning. I pray, Lord, that it help all of us to draw closer to the Savior. I pray, Lord, if there is someone here that's never trusted Christ, Lord, that today would be the day of salvation for them. Lord, I pray that you'd open up our hearts. And Lord, I pray that the light of God would shine in. Help us, Lord, to realize as the Shekinah glory shined bright above the house of God, the tabernacle in the Old Testament, help us, Lord, to realize that you've come to tabernacle with us, to dwell with us. Lord, shine brightly in every heart. We ask it all in Christ's name.